This episode of PTG is brought to you by HK Army. HK is an industry leader in high-quality paintball gear, accessories, and lifestyle apparel that was founded in 2007. And we have a tremendous opportunity for you all to be geared up on every level with HK Army custom team gear. Whether you're on the paintball field or in the airsoft arena, take your game to the next level by using code PTG to get 50% off your custom gear design fee. And I don't think y'all heard me out there. That is 50% off, and you will be able to collaborate with a seasoned designer to create custom branded HK Army jerseys, long sleeves, t-shirts, pants, gloves, or headbands for your team with no minimum order quantity. Head on over to hkarmy.com/custom and use code PTG for 50% off on your team's custom gear design fee right now. Let's go. Thank you, HK Army, for everything you do in paintball, in airsoft, and in so many people's lives. We love you. Go check them out. This episode is brought to you by Lone Wolf Paintball. They are an amazing online supplier and have been around since the beginning of the game as Michigan's premier paintball field and paintball supplier since 1987. They are rapidly expanding into the online retail space and supplying everything you need to be the best paintball player you can be. They have got it all. Head over to lonewolfpaintball.com and shop all of your favorite brands. And they also boast amazing customer service and will have this out to you with same day shipping, which is amazing. It's always nice to know that your stuff is on its way immediately so you can start to use it that very next weekend of play. Check out their YouTube, Lone Wolf Paintball, and their Instagram at Lone Wolf PB, and stay up to date with all of their deals and sales. Play the Game podcast is immensely honored to have them on board, and we cannot wait for you guys to check out lonewolfpaintball.com and become a part of their community. PTG family, we love you. Thank you all for continuing to support the PTG show. We are truly forever grateful for each and every single one of you that tunes in on a weekly basis. And if you are enjoying these episodes and want to help with the progress and development of this program, head on over to ptgpodcast.com. Click the orange Patreon link and become a member of our community. That's where you can connect with hungry, like-minded paintball players, enjoy paintball 7 days a week in our exclusive chat rooms, and ensure that we can continue to keep cultivating the future of paintball for years to come. It's all love for paintball. It's all love for PTG. We can't wait to see you in there. Head over to ptgpodcast.com and become a member of our community. What's going on, PTG Nation? We got episode number 250 of the Play the Game podcast, and we just want to take a moment to say thank you so much to everyone out there who has supported us on our mission and our journey to grow paintball culture around the world. We can't do this without you, so thank you for all the support. We have another really fun show. It's an early morning episode for me. It's 7:30 a.m., and we're reporting live from Europe with the Lucky 15s. We've got Mason Hines and James Green, as well as, of course, Marcelo, who is coaching the Luckies, and they're having a lot of fun getting ready for NXL Europe. They're just coming off a big win from the CPPS, which is the biggest event series in the United Kingdom, and it's great momentum as they roll into event number one of NXL Europe in Portugal. We have a lot of fun on this show, even have a little bit of a European trivia questions towards the end. So we hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, let's hop into the show.
That was an insane inside move by Marcelo Margot. Great communication.
And the crowd starts chanting Harmon.
Great shot by all the guys. Though Tyler Harmon saved that.
He came out with two wins. Marcelo Margot was on fire.
Welcome all to episode number 250, the big 250. We made it halfway to the 300, and we are reporting live from Europe with Marcelo and Mason from the Lucky 15s. You guys just came off of a great weekend and are having some fun out there. What's going on, guys?
Well, we just got back from the CPPS. We're out here in lovely England. It's cloudy per usual. Got some rain this morning.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And the boy finally came to hang out. I've been kind of chilling here in Greeny's place past couple days, a little solo. And what are we going to do tonight? Go to some F1 like simulator type
something,
thing.
Some cool activity, going to some nice food, chill out, hang out with the boys.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, those F1 simulators are so much fun. And Mason Hines, right? Hines? I'm sorry.
Hines.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Mason Hines is hungry, up-and-coming player, been with the Lucky 15s. We're stoked to have you on the show and get your story. And then you guys are chilling over at James Green's house. Is that right?
Yeah.
There we go. Shout out to Greeny. And going to have some fun team bonding tonight. Talk to us about this last weekend. You guys were playing in the CPPS, which is like the biggest league in the UK, I believe, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely the biggest league in the country, for sure.
There we go. So, yeah, how did that go? How was the team?
Man, well, I'll answer that because it was my first time actually getting to coach the boys. Obviously, you know, we've gotten to play against these guys with, you know, Team USA, Nations Cup, bunch of really good young and upcoming hungry players. And Ainsley runs definitely the best league in the UK and really like one of the best leagues in Europe. It's an amazing league. So they do a phenomenal job. The competition is really good there. And it was a good practice weekend because the event was actually on the same layout that the NXL Europe is going to be on. So it was nice to be able to come over week early, have a day of practice with the boys and then compete in the tournament. Kind of, you know, get a feel for how everybody plays and all the nuances and make sure I'm putting people in the right position. Definitely a little bit of a learning curve, but I think that what's the average age on the team? It's got to be young. It's like 22.
Something like 23, 24. Definitely between that sort of area.
Yeah.
You know, you've got probably got like four of us between the ages of 22 to 24, somewhere around that. And then like all the other guys are like 27 and then Jim being...
Jim's the old head.
Yeah. Kim was bringing up that age too much.
I know Dynasty's doing the opposite. We're losing our young guys, so we're bringing the average age up. You know, it's like, I'm the second youngest player on our team at 33, and that's crazy.
Yeah, that's mental.
Yeah, it's mental. How old are you?
23.
Yeah, so 23. And just for all the listeners out there, Mason was the 2022 UK Player of the Year as well. Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah. Like, did you do some like modeling or like what?
It was just got like a little plaque.
That's outstanding.
Well, yeah, much deserved. This dude's a stud. He's a fantastic player. I'm really excited to work with him and actually James Green as well. He should be getting off work pretty soon. I don't know if he's going to make the tail end of the show, but would like to get him on for one of his own episodes. He's got a great story. He actually came to back-to-back clinics back in 2017 and 18 when Ryan and I were out here.
Yeah.
And he's always just been a student of the game. And actually, yesterday we had a really nice dinner and talked paintball for like 2 hours. We sat down and just had some great food and talked paintball. And like, he gets it. You know, he totally gets it. So it'd be nice to have him on and have a discussion too. But you as well, you're a huge student of the game. This is like your passion. You're all in on it.
Oh, 100%.
You know, this is your dream. And so... kind of talk to us about that. How did you get started in the game and at what point did you decide this is what you wanted to do?
So I'd probably say it's the most generic way. So it was just a birthday party. you know. Nice. So it was my mom's idea. She thought, why don't you try paintball and give it a go? I was like, yeah, cool. Saw some videos on YouTube. Had a quick look at it. I was like, yeah, you know what? This sounds pretty cool. I'll give it a go. Ever since then, first day I played it, hooked. Wanted to go back again. Wanted all my own gear. You know, and then it started becoming a thing where I was allowed to go once a month. So for a year, I was allowed to go once a month for like a treat. You know, I was still in like high school. So I was like, you know, still trying to learn, you know, basic things in life. And then it got to a point probably like 2 or 3 years in after playing. I started seeing tournament paintball. Okay, this looks loads more fun. So originally I played in the woods and I wanted to be a bit more, doing something more athletic and, you know, see the more competitive side of paintball for sure. When I saw Ainsley had a site down at CPPS, which was only like half an hour down the road from where I lived. So it was a quick drive to get down there. And I was like, you know, I need to go and see it, see what it's all about. And ever since then, I've just been hooked. You know?
Yeah.
Now I play every single weekend.
What a blessing that you had such like a good camp in your area too, to be able to like get involved with. That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. All the guys talk about it on the team, like, makes you so lucky, like, how close you live. Like, I only have to drive a half hour, get up at 8 o'clock, have a nice job, where everyone's getting up at 6 to drive 3 hours or 2 hours, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely fortunate that ANC site is only down the road. But yeah, and then I've been on the Luckies now for about 9 years. This is my 9th year on the team. I did about 3 years on their feeder team. And then, you know, being the 6th year on the first team now. But yeah, you know, it's been a learning curve. It's been a, you know, as a person as well, not as just paintball, you know, the people, because I've been surrounded by the team at such a young age, it sort of, you know, made the person I am now. You know, I've matured so quickly just being around older people, life lessons, and you just get to take that on board and sort of embed that to the mentality that you want to embed into myself, basically.
Yeah, talk to me about that, because I think there's something really important there with this game of paintball. In regards to like all sports, I think this game in particular has a special way of maturing people into life in a really particular way. It teaches you so much about the real world, how to communicate and work with others, how to game plan, how to, you know, like really dig deep for your community, your people, and get the most out of you moving forward in life. So what's it been like growing up in paintball and having the adventures and all the fun that come along with it?
I think recently it's been a bit more chilled out because I'm a bit older. I'm usually the older guys.
Oh, come on. 23. You know? You're a young man, dude.
I know. Dude, what's crazy is I had it totally reversed. So Greeny is really mature. Anytime you talk to him, he's really well-spoken, seems really mature. But I thought he was like 22 or 23 years old. So I remember when we came out for the clinics, I felt like he was a kid, but I had it confused. I thought he was training for GB U19s, but he was actually already past that and was helping the U19 kids. Yeah. Mm. So I just had his age off. And I thought Mason was like 27, 28, you know, because also mature, you know, a little taller. It seems like he's been playing for a long time. And then I'm finding out like all the guys on the team are kids. They're all kids, you know? And I'm like, okay, now I understand the attitude and all the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bunch of young punks.
Yeah, you know? There we go. Let's go, baby. Yeah, man, it's a special game. And you get to meet so many cool people. And I'm sure growing up in the UK, there's a great paintball community out there and everybody looks out for each other and obviously wants to see the future of the game do well. So it's cool to see that you have been taken in as like an apprentice and they've all made sure to really give you the game, you know, and help you mature in the game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was like 14 when I joined the 15. So I was like still very, very young, you know. It was very much like they still spoke all like my mom and stuff. So, you know, make sure like, yeah.
That's like us.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with us. Yeah.
And so when it's you realize that. Sorry, I'm fucking going on the tangent here.
No, you're good. You're good.
Talking about as in the whole. What's going on now?
Yeah, just like growing up in paintball. It's
you know, the types of things that the game can teach you and how it can help you grow into a person. I was talking to Greeny about this last night, actually. The amount of things that paintball itself has taught me, you know, as a person, how to become a better person. And, you know, maybe we got a little off track. I was pulling up the phone to do a little social media for the boys. But this is a great conversation to be in, right? Paintball has taught me a tremendous amount about life and humans and, you know, how to interact with people. Mm. It raised me in a way that I don't think anything else could, you know? Yeah. And that's like, you know, when I'm talking to parents or other kids that are skeptical about playing and, you know, don't know if they should pursue this. I'm like, listen, if at anything else, if you can get what I've gotten and what everyone I know has gotten from this game, on a human level, it's worth it.
Oh yeah.
Right. You know, it might not bring you millions of dollars yet. There's a lot of really exciting things coming to paintball, I think, in the near future. And you can certainly carve out a career from it, which I want to talk to you about as well. But you know, those things they're invaluable. They really are.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, making me the person, I think it's been the biggest thing for me was sort of obviously winning and losing. You know, I think the biggest thing for me was like learning how to lose. And, you know, being able to take that on board, you know. So when I was a kid and the countless times when I'd be on the Mustangs. So in the 15s, there's two teams. You've got the 15s and the Mustangs. And the Mustangs is like the feeder team, obviously bringing up new generations into the pro team, obviously when people leave or they move on to like life, certain situations, whatever it may be. You know, all I wanted to do on that Mustangs team was beat the first team. countless times we lost. And like, I remember being like a young kid. I like one event, me and Aiden played a one-on-one. And I lost the one-on-one. I was like, 16 or 17, and like nearly like broke down in tears. I'm in the pits, and I'm like, that's probably the biggest thing that paintball taught me is how to lose in a more professional and like mature way, to the sense of like, oh, okay, I did this, now how can I go to the next event, change it? Or you know, everyone says, talking about hindsight, hindsight's a beautiful thing, you know, because you can look at it, oh, if I'd have done this, if I'd have done that, you know. So if you can sort of take it in a way of where you can learn, obviously, from the mistakes. I mean, you guys know that anyway, because you preach it as much as you do. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, that's the biggest thing in life. Just, you know, I remember when this happened to me in paintball, we say a certain situation happens to me in real life, and you just sort of just take on the same sort of mentality. You know, it's not too bad. You just learn from it and get on with things, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely. It's so important. You got to fail in the right direction. You know, yeah. It's imperative to success. If you're going to achieve any greatness in anything, you're going to fail. It's just, and you should welcome it, you know, and not be afraid of it, but you definitely have to learn that. And paintball teaches you that quick, because you fail a lot in paintball. There's a lot of ups and downs, and the ups are high and the lows are low. And, you know, you got to find a way to navigate that and keep it at a consistent to where you can always be growing and developing through the highs and the lows. So it's definitely a sharp learning curve. So talk to me about the tournament this last weekend. You guys had a lot of fun out there. You took home the W. What was the competition like? What was going on out there?
I'd say the competition was good. You know, the games were tight. You know, I'm pretty sure the first two games we went down to begin with. So we had to do, you know, work on how we were going to adjust. And, you know, I'm sure Mark worked out what he wanted to adjust within the plays, or, you know, the plays in certain spots. But yeah, I think it's just definitely a really good foundation and a building block to take into, obviously, NXR Europe this weekend. You know, the competition was great. You know, I wouldn't say anyone really massively got blew out. I think as a team, we could have played better. You know, I definitely would say that. I think we could have performed a lot better, but it's also the first weekend with Marsh and the 15 sort of collaborating together, where we've got to sort of take on board everything that he's saying, and obviously everything that we've learned from our preparation, and, you know, trying to bring them in together to work collaboratively, you know, in sync at the same time as well. So I think it's really good foundation of what we did.
You know, that's an important part, and I want to actually talk a little bit about that, because it's become a prominent thing with the last few teams that I've coached. The players have brought it to my attention, and it's something you and I both are very aware of, Tyler. You know, these coaches that feel like they have to come in and put their foot down and say, it's my way or the highway, right? That's not the way, especially these divisional coaches out there. If you think that running your organization should be done like that, because it should be this top-down kind of thing, you're probably wrong. You know, even with the immense amount of knowledge that I believe I have for the game, to me, it's really important to come in and ask what they think and ask where they're comfortable and ask, how can we work together? Because at the end of the day, everyone has to be comfortable doing what we're doing. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You know, you can't try to force your way onto a group of individuals, you know, and I've really learned that in the last, you know, couple years from coaching different teams. It's such an imperative part. And you hear these horror stories of divisional kids. They're like, my coach won't even let me, like, you know, if I get shot and I say, well, I don't think I should be in this spot, I can't even finish my sentence before the coach is yelling at me and telling me to do laps. You know, like, I'm like, I can't fathom that, because one, I guarantee you that coach has like infinite less paintball knowledge than we probably do, you know, and he's still being that harsh. And I wouldn't do that. You know, I want to hear why my players feel a certain way, you know, why they like or don't like something, you know, that helps you make good decisions in the game. Like, I'm not going to put a player in a spot that they just simply don't want to play, because we're not going to get the production out of them. You know, it's such an important part of the game, and you got to treat each player a little differently too. That's like, you know, that's kind of the magic, is finding a way to connect with the different players. You can't just be like, this is my way as a coach. And actually, Mike Bianca did a great job. I don't know if you listen to the show too much, but the Mike
Coach's Show?
The PTG.
Oh, okay.
But also, the Coach's Show is amazing. Mm-hmm. But we had Mike Bianca on PTG.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I was going to say, right? Or was this conversation on the Coach's Show? But
no.
And he spoke to exactly that. He said something really profound, and it was something along the lines of, it's not the player's job to learn how I coach. It's my job to learn how to coach them.
Yeah.
And that's like, boom, there's you know, a reason he's known as one of the best coaches in the league and has taken an organization and done really well with, you know, inexperienced players.
And he's studied his butt off too. The guy is smart as a whip because he reads so much. So he's done a lot of research as well to back these statements. And same with you, Marcelo. Like, you've been playing professional paintball for a very long time. You've had the opportunity to work with a tremendous amount of players, more so than maybe any other pro player. I mean, you're up there. You're in the top of working with as many players as any pro has worked with. You know, so through that, you've been able to learn these really valuable techniques of approaching how to get the most out of people. Mm-hmm. And you found the key is to accentuate your players, like add the cherries on top, you know, add the cherries on top all over the place and really bring the best out of people. But
you like cherries?
There you go. And maybe, like, you know, maybe an inexperienced coach might be a defense mechanism for them to like lash out, and they don't know what to do maybe, and the only thing they think to do is, hey, you go run, you know, you messed up, you're bad dog, you know, like. But it's, we got to go deeper, right? And when you go deeper and when you show that care for your players, that's going to be reciprocated. They're going to show care for you. They see that you genuinely have their best interest in mind, and they're genuinely going to have your best interest in mind too and go above and beyond for you. But it takes time to mature that. It takes time to like even have those realizations. And once again, probably a lot of failures before you get to, you know, all the good stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's it. Back to the failures, right? Mm-hmm. That is how you learn. And learning how to lose is, as you were saying, and you as well, Ty, like it's just an important part of life. I mean, I'm still not very good at it. It frustrates me in the moment.
Dude, I'm bad at it. Yeah.
But I also, like, there's a part of me that doesn't want to improve the or change the way I respond immediately, because that emotion is a byproduct of how much I care.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I would like for it not to affect my teammates in a negative way, but I hold on to that emotion and it actually propels me in a certain way. And there's a delicate dance to make sure that that's done the right way.
Of course.
You know, you don't want to put that fire out, but you definitely don't want to let the fire run and burn the whole house down. So it's a very, very delicate process there, but you know, losing is absolutely, you know, it can be the greatest source of fuel. Like, our last event was atrocious, you know, and if you just brush it off, you know, how do you get back to where you want to be if you just brush it off? Like, it has to bother you, you know, and it has to force you to look introspectively at what you personally did wrong and where your shortcomings were and what you could have done better to help the team on, off the field. Doesn't matter, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So, for me, I always look at those as like a great, great challenge, you know?
You got to keep the fire. You got to keep the fire lit. Like you said, it has to be burning. You can't ever get to a point where you're just brushing things off and like, oh, well, you know, we'll get them next time. And just like, you know, no, like, it really should bother you. You should be a little pissed off, and that emotion should carry you with some gumption into the future so that you can, you know, make shit happen. That's how any of the top athletes are going to approach it.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of a winning mentality, really. If you don't have that, you're not in that right frame.
Yeah.
Right. You know, to win events, win tournaments, and better yourself going forward.
Yeah.
Man. I do think there's something to be said, too, though, about being able to compartmentalize those emotions, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think you should ever let a loss, especially in sports, cause you to be generally unhappy throughout the week, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can be upset about the sport and the loss there and the shortcoming there, but to let it cast this broader sense of failure on you beyond sport, that's where it becomes an issue, I think. And that's where, you know, I think the really good athletes, they can compartmentalize and say, okay, like in a sporting sense, this is awful, feels terrible, you know, but I'm not a bad person. You know, I still have a lot going on. I have my family. I have this, I have that. Let's get back to the drawing board, because that feels like shit, you know, and I want it to feel like shit in the sporting sense.
Yeah.
But like, I think a lot of people struggle with that too. And they struggle with failures because they don't realize how to compartmentalize what the failure is. It's not a failure as a human. it's a failure within that thing, whatever that thing is. And so you can fix that thing. And that's a really important takeaway. You know, compartmentalization is like a fantastic skill to have.
Absolutely.
For many reasons.
Yeah, you can't let it trickle over.
It's almost like you're saying is in a sense of, obviously something's going to be negative, but always applying a positive mind frame and attitude towards it. You know, you've got to stay positive towards something because you've got to think it's going to get better. You know, you've got to know that the work that you put in will improve, obviously, what you want it to do.
Dude, this little Zoom thing, Zoom thing is great. So for the listeners back home, look, the mic is for show today. Sorry about the audio. Tyler and I, when we did these shows on the road before, we were just recording ourselves. And so we were able to plug this in and we would have the travel mic and it worked great. Only problem here is you're supposed to plug in headphones if it's done through the streaming thing. Mm-hmm. Well, if we do that, then we couldn't have both of us on. So this is a new thing that we just discovered. So next time we do this, we'll be a little more prepared. But thank you for bearing with us. Again, small failure.
I have the the splitter. You just need like a splitter. I have that here, and we'll get one for that one as well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
and, you know, a little set of headphones will be good to go.
Yeah, no, but you're right. You're absolutely right about the positivity and not letting things like carry over into other facets of your life. You know, you can't. It's like when you leave the office from your job, you can't let your work at the office come home and affect your home life, and then you're, you know, having a bad attitude with your significant others. And you have to really be good at compartmentalizing, like you said, March. And it's important to be able to flip the switches in your mind, right? And when you flip that switch on to whatever mode you're going into, applying everything that you have to being the best at that. So if I got my dad hat on, I'm the best dad in the world. If I got my paintball player hat on, I'm the best paintball player in the world. You know, like you got to really be good at flipping those switches and knowing timing and just how to approach different facets of your life. And it is such a difficult thing to really do, because as humans, we're emotional creatures. Like I have emotions, you know, we all have emotions. We have an emotional guidance system, and it's hard to say, okay, I'm going to switch my brain over to this mode, but I feel pissed off about this, you know, like it's a really difficult chore to do that. But the more that you try and the more effort you apply to it, it'll become easier and easier to do that over time.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, Ty. So, Mason, I want to ask you a little bit more about UK paintball and, you know, what you think about the talent here and where you think UK paintball is headed. Because, you know, back in the day, London Nexus was the main team. They were the team that, like, really put UK paintball on the map. I mean, I guess you could say, was it Shockwave before that? Do you remember them?
Yeah, it might be. I mean, that's way.
That's way. Yeah.
Yep, Shockwave.
But Nexus was the big name team. And then after Nexus, when they died, there really wasn't an organization until you guys, the Lucky 15s, came back. And now you guys are kind of putting UK paintball back on the map.
Yeah.
You know, who are some of the icons or people that you looked up to in the UK growing up?
I don't know. It's a hard one to say, really. I mean, in the UK, I sort of looked up to the players that were on the 15s already, because that was the team that I wanted to play for. I wanted to play for the 15s. So people like Aiden, Richard Thorpe, all those guys that were on the 15s before, I sort of looked up to them. But I mean, regarding people who I looked up to, who I wanted to put myself in their shoes, I looked up to the American players. You know, countless times watching YouTube videos of, you know, you pair playing, you know, back when you was an Ironman, Tyler was on Dynasty. And, you know, I always looked up to the main stage. That was where I wanted to be. That was how good I wanted to be. And that was sort of the same mentality that what I took in from now. You know, I always still wanted to be the best player. I wanted to be playing all around the globe. So I wouldn't say I looked up to people in the UK. I looked up to like the top, you know, if you sort of played any sport, you know, if you're looking up to that, you want to be the best, you look up to the top people. So whether that be basketballing, you know, you look up to all like the players over there and such. But the UK wise, I don't think I wasn't really known of anyone massively. I came into it quite a novice level, where in a sense of, like, I just turned up to CPPS and was like, well, what's this?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was sort of, you know, going by that, it was how am I going to get myself from here to where I was seeing people on YouTube like yourselves playing in PSP or, you know, NPL at the day, wherever it might have been. Yeah, that was probably a lot of time.
So is that your ultimate goal, to play pro in the US?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I've done it with the 15s, you know, and, you know, they're all my best friends, you know. So getting to experience that with them is honestly one of the most life treasuring moments. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, we've worked so hard to get where we are. And I think to be able to share that moment with them, like, it's, you know, and we want to do it again. We want to win every event at NXL this year and then come into the Champions Division at World Cup. So, you know, we want to do it again. We enjoy it, and we know we can compete out there as well. So that's, yeah, definitely my goal as well, to be out there. I'd love to be playing at all 5 NXL events in the US and in Europe as well. You know, trying to play as much paintball as possible, basically.
Yeah, that's one of the gems of, like we were talking about earlier, like the gems of the sport of paintball, being able to play this, is traveling with your best friends around the world playing paintball. And I know for Marcelo and myself, that's been one of our, like, top gems of the game as well. Is Greeny back? We got
Greeny.
Him.
Yeah.
There we go.
There he is. Get over here, Greeny.
You guys are holding down the fort here.
Dude, we are. Absolutely.
Yeah, shout out. So we got Mr. James Green, who's just walked in the door. He's going to be joining us here in a second. Yo, what up, dude?
Hey, Tyler. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Just got back from work.
There we go. What are we doing? What did we have going on today?
Oh, nothing interesting. Lots of numbers. Especially.
Yeah.
Come on. You're trying to solve, like, this insane puzzle at work, trying to design this master code for some very important stuff.
Yeah.
This guy's a brainiac.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It translates.
Big brain, small body.
Yeah, Marcelo's gonna give me some beef today.
I think he's gonna get me back from that. This is my time. My time to shine.
He's been writing them down in a notebook.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't see it on camera. Uh-huh. He's ready.
Yeah, these guys are brutal, man. They don't let you rest. You know, this team is you got to be on your toes.
Exactly.
That's right.
You gotta be on your toes.
I remember when we were out there for the Nations Cup. You know,
that ass.
Yeah, I remember that. But
the year after, you whooped our ass.
Yeah. When we were staging in the same area, you know, and even just in those brief moments, you could tell they got some like gangster in them. You know, they're like, they're ready to brawl, they're ready to go, they're ready to lay it all on the line for the sport. They bring everything that they have, and that involves also the jokes, the banter, and that to me is like, that's fun. Like in sports, that's good stuff. So we were talking shit to each other. They're talking shit over here, you know, and that's just kind of, that's how it goes at. And when you're playing at the highest level, especially, there's going to be a lot of banter and a lot of, you know, like horseplay, let's call it horseplay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Living rent free, you know.
I always appreciated that about the English teams. I mean, I played with Nexus back in 2013-14, you know, and it was, you know, one of the reasons I enjoyed playing with them is because it reminded me of my childhood. You know, again, I've got older brothers, you know, Italian, my dad, old school Italian. And so growing up, you know, my sister dishes it out left and right, like, just kind of have thick skin, and you got to be clever, otherwise you just get bullied, you know? So like, you don't want to get bullied, you want to come up with some jokes quick.
That's right.
But it's all good fun. It actually, you know, it means you actually like the person.
That's,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If they're not having fun with you and like messing with you, they probably actually really don't like you.
I'm still trying to explain this to young Stevie because he like breaks down and thinks that I don't.
Oh no!
Sometimes, and I'm like, Steve, I love you. It's the whole reason I give you all this grief, you know.
He knows. He's smart enough to where he's playing you. Actually, he's like, you know, he's playing the soft card, and he's like, oh, look at, he really likes me.
He might Steve, be.
Yeah, Steve is the man. Shout out to young Stevie and Wrecking Crew. They just dominated semi-pro in that last event. And it's all because of the culture, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all absolutely. The culture is huge. And, you know, I've been working with them since Division 4. So, you know, the culture is deeply ingrained in that organization. Big Rob obviously can't say enough good things about him. And young Stevie is, I don't know if you listened to him on the coach's show.
But I did.
I mean, he knocked it out of the park.
Like, he did. Absolutely, yeah.
Nailed it. Like, he speaks better than most coaches, honestly, mm-hmm. professional players. But two of those kids are playing on Aftershock Europe, and they're in our bracket.
So that's right.
They're the enemies this weekend.
Yeah.
They've already been talking a lot of shit. And I'm like, I don't know. I got the boys. I got the crew right now. I'm going to mind them. Yeah.
Let's go, guys. All right. Speaking of that, let's go over the bracket. So you guys are going to be starting the Portugal Invitational this Friday. And your guys' first game, I believe the show will be 8 hours ahead in time for anybody looking to watch on Go Sports.
Eight hours ahead of Pacific time. Yes.
Of Pacific time. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. So if you want to watch, go to GoSports.com, tune in. You will have to watch one of their games at 1 a.m. in the morning, or you can just save it for the next day. But they will be playing at this.
I actually don't know if it's going to be on Go Sports. It might be on.
Nah, it's not
good. Yeah, it'll be on like a Facebook. Or it'll be on Facebook or YouTube. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. NXL Europe.
Face. Yeah. There we go.
But they do have a stream, and I don't know what time we play, but I know our order. We play Five Star first.
Yeah.
And then Attrition, London Attrition second. So they're another team here out of the UK, obviously. We actually played against them this last weekend at the CPBS. It's Jason Wheeler's team, old mate of mine.
We got shot on Friday.
Yeah, so I think I have
Five Star of the Shock. Oh, and then Attrition Tauntauns. Okay.
Yeah, and I do have the times here as well. It'll be Friday at 1:20 p.m. your time. So that's 8 hours ahead of Pacific time. 1:20 p.m. on Friday, Five Star. Friday as well, you're playing Shock at 4:05 p.m. And then Saturday, you have London Attrition at 2:15 p.m. And then you are going to finish off Saturday, 5 p.m. with the Tauntauns, which will be an amazing game to watch. Yeah. Absolutely. Fire it up. Yeah, fire it up.
Tauntauns are playing really well right now, and Axel's like kind of on fire at the moment. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, looking forward to the challenge of, you know, figuring out how we're going to shut him down and also play our game. But, you know, I love those games being the last game of the prelims because there's just so much weight to them. You know, such a big magnitude game could have, you know, not just seeding implications, but, you know, even just making it. I think we probably have the toughest bracket. There's probably going to be a few teams that are, you know, we both could be 2-1 going into that game. You know, you never know. It's just exciting. It's exciting how it lines up. And right off the gate, we're going to see what we can do.
That's what you want. You want good competition. You want to be going into a tournament firing after you leave those first four games. You want to be sending it into those next rounds. So really exciting to watch that. Everybody be sure to support on NXL's Facebook page, NXL Europe, and watch all the action over there. And then I do want to highlight the roster. You know, we got obviously owner Ainsley, amazing. We've had him on the show, and one of the absolute pillar in paintball for you.
He's the UK. Man.
And just outstanding individual. And then we got Jim McGowan. We got James Green, obviously. Lewis Coffey, who is a really up-and-coming talent. Really fun
double
to watch.
Double espresso these days.
Double espresso. Oh,
double espresso.
There we go.
Decaf, but he's moved into espresso land.
Yeah, that's the big espresso. There we go. And then we got Ethan Levy, Mason Hines, Spencer Tilbury, Thomas Carroll, and then I believe you guys have some staff members that'll be helping you, Mr. Twiz, Mark, and then Matt Carver as well. So you guys have an amazing organization heading into this first event of the season, and I'm sure you're really excited, and I kind of want to just go from Mr. Hines and then go over to Greeny and ask you guys, you know, what it's been like playing for the Lucky 15s, and your intentions going into the season and how you want to approach 2024 European paintball.
We go with me, yeah. I mean, playing with the 15s, I mean, me and Green have been on the team for the same amount of time. So I think it's always sort of been a sort of a family team. We've always been like hanging around together. You know, we've always had that same admiration as well for where we want to be in paintball. When people who ever come onto the team, they've always wanted to play pro. And I think that sort of drive is what got us to this certain point now as well. Regarding playing European Paint, well, I think, you know, we just want to play our game as well. I think everyone knows what we're capable of on the field. I think in our first year, it was a little bit here and there because we were just a, you know, a new breakout team. So people may not know what to expect from us. But I think now people obviously understand that we can play the aggressive, we can play the fast points. So I think obviously bringing Marcelo in, it's being able to let everyone adapt their minds also to the game situation of how we're also going to play certain points and how we're going to play at the moment. And I think it also just gives everyone confidence as well, because, you know, I think just having Marcelo in the pits and his mind, I think it's going to build up in every single game. I think we're just going to get stronger game by game. And yeah, really gonna. I think we're just gonna have a really good weekend and enjoy the paintball. You know, that's all I can really say.
Thank you, bro. It might be the first compliment I've ever gotten from one of you.
Yeah,
I might cry.
All right, Mr. Green, what about you, brother? In regards to just being a part of this organization for so long and approaching this new season. And how you're attacking it.
Yeah, well, the 15s is a great team to play for. I think, yeah, Mason said we've been on the same team for the same amount of time. We didn't say it, so we're the longest standing members currently.
Yeah.
No way. Wow.
We've been here, this is our ninth year.
Ninth year.
Yeah.
So almost 10 years on the same team is a long time.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
But what's really cool about the Luckies, I think, for me, is that it doesn't just pick up good players, it makes good players. So we've got a really, really great second team. We both started on the second team together. Barring few exceptions, we've never really bought, you know, barring, you know, Jim and Clint, we've never bought anyone straight onto the first team. Everyone's gone through the Mustangs, which is our second team, and they're a really good team too as well. So it's nice to be part of a team that brings talent in.
Yeah.
That for needs sure. a bit of shaping and gets them to a good place, gives them the space to learn, gives them lots of reps at a high level. They play in the top division in the UK as well. And then, you know, there's that jump. It's just so much easier because you're already playing with people you know and trust. So that's my favourite part of the Luckies. Ainsley is obviously a huge part of that and all the support we get from, you know, Leds and Planet and GI and all of our sponsors. But yeah, that's what makes it a cool team for me, is it's just that the opportunities we give out to people and we've taken advantage of ourselves. For the year, you know, we've got to make Marcelo look good. So that's good start so far. I think we all realize we're still quite a young team and we've got a lot to learn. And it's really hard to figure those things out on your own. Everyone who's good enough to coach us wants to play for us in the UK. So it's quite hard to find a coach. We had one and he was like, nah, I'm just going to play for you guys next year. he won coach of the event and it was like, I think I'm just going to play next year, guys. I'm like, oh, okay, you're pretty good. So you can play too. But I think that's what I'm looking forward to is just getting better. And hopefully that translates into wins. But if at the end of the season we're playing a better style of paintball that gets us closer to winning in the long run, I'm going to be super happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big one for me.
Love that. Let's speaking of the Mustangs, I want to highlight the squad. We've got the up and coming squad that's going to be trying to take all y'all's spots, you know, on the Lucky 15s. And I believe the roster is up to date on the website. You got Ethan Ward, Guy Wakefield, Aiden Ball, Christian Bell.
He's gone.
Oh, no more Christian. Well, hey, wherever you're at, go get it, Christian. Lewis Beswick.
Yeah.
Joe Ho.
Yeah.
Yep. Middle attack man. And is it Graham?
Graham. No, Graham's.
Graham's also gone. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alex Anstey. Is he still with you?
Yeah, he's still about.
Yep. Let's go, Alex. And then we got Maddie. And that's the squad for the Mustangs there.
Yeah, so Maddie's also gone as well. We had to trim down the roster this year a bit, so we've only got sort of a surviving few left. But the bunch we've got are so good. So Aiden and Alex used to play for the first team. Both took breaks from paintball and have come back and are still really good.
Heck yeah.
Ethan and Guy, they kind of came on as project guys a few years ago now, I think in 2019 was their first season?
Yeah, it's around that sort of time.
And they're really like, they're leaders on the team now. They're the established solid players. They get a lot of spins. Ethan, big Ethan, we call him, because he's a tall boy.
Yeah.
He's the captain of that squad and really leads them on and off the field. So he's, you know, coming off the field, trying to call plays and get everyone organized. It's quite chaotic for him.
Yeah, it can be.
And then Lewis and Joe are kind of the new project guys. They're getting a lot more spins now, the tight roster. Marcelo saw it. They're making decisions in situations, and some of them are good and some of them are bad, but they're trying and they're learning, and they're really good players.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, for being, you know, quote unquote, the second team, you know, they're one of the better teams from what I saw in the UK as well. So at the tournament, you know, they were in the top four.
Yeah.
Easily could have went to the finals. I think they lost the semifinals in overtime one-on-ones, you know. Mm. So it really is that close. That was the third and fourth game.
You're right. Yeah, it was third and fourth.
Yeah. But semifinals, I think, was like a one-point game. Yeah, overtime. So super close match. Easily could have been playing them in the finals. Want to give a shout out to the Portuguese team that we played in the finals, Sporting. It was pretty cool to see them come over here. You know, they were the only team I think that traveled internationally to be here. And no one really knew it felt like no one knew what to expect from them. They played a pretty wild style of paintball, but it got them to the finals. And one of the coolest parts is afterwards, one of the guys, I went to shake their hands and he's like, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I'm looking at him. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, your face is so familiar." And he's like, "Benfica, 2008, we played together, Lisbon, Benfica. It was my first European pro team." Yeah, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I totally remembered him. Don't remember his name, you know, yeah, but I remember his face, like so prominent, you know."
That's awesome.
And I'm like, man, it just brought me back. My very first European tournament was, you know, with Lisbon, Benfica. So it's cool to see them and, you know, for them to have success over here. Again, you know, just an amazing weekend.
Yeah, what's it been like, March, traveling around, you having fun, seeing some sights, and then you're still on the road here for another, probably about another week or so, like six days. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, no, it's been great. You know, again, I'm really excited about this opportunity more than anything. You know, when we were putting this deal together, it was something that we both wanted to have happen. I've been a fan of these guys for years, to be honest. Even when they beat us in the Nations Cup a few years back, I was like, these kids are really hungry, they're talented. It's kind of a cool story, you know? And then in 2022, I was playing with the CP Raiders, didn't make the second event. I actually had just gotten COVID, so I couldn't get on a plane. It was kind of a time where it was like still super taboo. And I remember watching the whole event and these guys went off. They ended up getting second place, but they were beating the shit out of everybody. But one thing is missing from their game, and it was kind of the control and understanding how to manage leads, kind of something that I do well, right? So ever since that time, I wanted to play with them. I thought that would be really fun, but they have kind of a long-standing rule. They want to do this without bringing in, you know, a U.S. pro to kind of compete on the field.
Yeah.
And there's sponsorship issues. I'm sure we could get past the other one if I was able to make it happen. But I was like, man, it would be really cool to coach you guys. And so I was kind of in Ainsley's ear for a while about this. And, you know, at the end of this last year, we were able to put it together. And for me, I feel like it's going to be an amazing challenge. You know, I've never coached a pro team before. And I think this team has everything it takes to win. You know, really, they just need a nudge in the right direction. I don't think I'm going to be bringing anything that's, you know, revolutionary. I think it's just kind of, you know, fine tuning. So
that's right.
So really, really looking forward to that. You know, and again, it's cool to work with these guys. They're hungry. They're talented, play all the time. So, you know, as a coach, what more can you ask for?
Absolutely. That culture, man, we can't stop saying it enough because it really is all about that. The team culture is going to drive success. And Marcelo, you know that better than anybody. You know, like you've got to have that in place. And when you find an organization like Wrecking Crew, like the 15s, and you helped a lot with the culture of Wrecking Crew and like establishing what we're going to be, who we're going to be out here, right? And being able to come into this camp and just like we were talking about earlier, drop a couple gems, a couple little key pieces of the scientific formula of paintball that you've come to know so well that can really round out this team and take them to a tier one over and over and over and over again, you know, because that's at the end of the day, that's what it takes is that consistency at a top tier level. And there is really a science to it. And once you start to see it and use it and get the implications of it and start applying it, it's game over. And then we're going to see the Lucky 15s become a powerhouse, maybe like we've never seen out of Europe. You know, like this team has the potential to be one of the biggest names ever to come out of European paintball if you just keep applying that pressure. And then bigger than European paintball on the global stage, going over and being highly competitive in America, as we've seen year after year, which is super important for the global culture of paintball, right? We need pockets all over the world to be demonstrating what you guys are demonstrating. So on behalf of myself and just paintball in general, like, thank you guys for all the hard work and the pressure that you're applying to the game, because it's so important on a bigger picture than even we all know, you know?
Yeah. 100%. I agree. I think they can very well be one of the more powerful teams to come over and really make a statement as a brand and as an organization. Especially with, you know, how the NXL runs things now, to where if you earn a spot, you get to come and compete at the World Cup. And, you know, they had a good run this last World Cup, you know, made it to Sunday. Again, you know, really put a lot of teams on notice, beat some good teams. You come over and do that a few years in a row, you know, like Tauntauns, they did the same thing. And it was, I think a lot of people thought the Tauntauns were just going to get beat up, and they shocked a lot of people. The Tauntauns are really, really good. You know, but European paintball has some really good teams. So
yeah,
you know, it's an opportunity to continue to build on that and, you know, come and showcase those skills.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Ainsley, your guys' team owner, man. He's such a good guy. So I want to ask you guys, what's it like playing for Ainsley? We'll start off with, let's go with Green.
Go on, Green.
Oh, Ainsley.
Pressure, mate.
Yeah, it's just, I went one with Padua.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, he's got the moves. Yeah,
we got your best agent. No, Ainsley.
Yeah, he's so mean.
Yeah. It's all bark, no bite, Ainsley. No, he's an absolute sweetheart. It's just fun playing for Ainsley. Fun because, you know, he wants it to be fun, but also he's just a funny guy to be around. Like, he's one of the guys too. Like, he'll be sending us silly videos in the chat all the time, and
yeah,
we'll be rinsing him for it just as we'll rinse anyone else for it. So, you know. Yeah, it's, you know, it's fun, but also the biggest thing with Ainsley is he does everything the right way. And it's not about him. It's never been about him. It's about the team, and he always puts that first. So if any player needs any help, or for anything, even outside of paintball, he's like the first guy to offer. And I think that's where the culture you guys talk about starts. The other big side of the equation that deserves a shout out, doesn't always get it, is Dill. So Dill is Ainsley's business partner behind the scenes, and he also is a co-owner of the 15s as well. So he's a little bit less known, a little bit less seen, but he's, you know, from a support perspective, he's just as involved as Ainsley, and he's right there with him going, all right, let's make this happen. Like, let's go all in right now, see what happens, and then we'll go from there.
Love that.
Unbelievably supportive too, those two.
Yeah, and then Mr. Hines, what about you?
I mean, I've known him such a long time now. He's almost like my second dad, I'll be honest. You know, it's, you know, whenever I'm talking to him, and he's always, you know, giving so much good advice over the years, you know, and There's no other person I want to win for more than is Ainsley. You know, he puts so much effort in, time in, you know, week in, week out, you know, for the team, for paintball, just paintball in UK and anyway. You know, you look at the absolute facility that we get to train at week in, week out, it's flawless. You know, that's, I think, another big part of why we've been able to, you know, get to the level we have, is because we have one of the best facilities in Europe to train at. You know, it's a key part of getting good at something. You have to have all the great facilities to be able to do, you know, all the training, all the hard work, you know, whatever it may be, to get to the point you want to be at. But, Ainsley is a massive part of it. And he's, you know, we're going on this journey along with him. You know, he started it. You guys learned about how the team started with, obviously, the bet. And, you know, it's come such a long way from when that first started. You know, I think probably if you speak to him when he first started the team and where it would be now, you'd be like, now what are you doing? You know, I remember the countless conversations. I call him on a weekly basis just to see how he is, and we talk about paintball from time to time. And you know, he means so much, and there's no other person I want to win for more than is Ainsley.
That's so important, man. It is it is really a special experience to have that too, you know, to be able to look at someone who you're about to go into battle for and look at them and be like, this is for you. You know, this is for us. This is for our family. And to have that energy coursing through your veins, it adds a texture to not just the game, but your life experience. You know, it's very rare that you get to play for something bigger than yourself that you believe in so much. And to be able to have that experience, I know I feel the same way about Sarge and Mama D. Like when I see them, I just about go crazy because I want to knock people out for them, you know, like not literally, but I want to knock people out of the tournament, you know, like I want to go the distance. watch out, everybody. But it's
a fight. Yeah. I'm not trying to fight Tyler. That's all.
Oh man. I'm not trying to fight anybody. It's all love on my side, but it's a really important thing that you guys have. And, it's really cool to see you guys all working so hard with a common goal. And you're super lucky, if I might say myself, to have Marcelo at the, you know, the helm helping to steer this, because this guy is going to definitely give those gems, those little gems. And if you just take a few of them and start applying them, it's going to be a game changer for the organization. So what are you guys looking at doing leading into the next tournament? Obviously this weekend is the big event. How are you guys prepping this week, or what are we doing? Hanging out, you know, even team bonding stuff is very important. Just doing fun things together. What are you guys up to this week?
We're just kind of living our normal lives, no, Tyler.
There we go. I love it. Yeah, you just got done. You just got done code work. You know, you're throwing it down right now.
I had to come back early. You know, just for this. Start early, finish early.
I love it. Thank you.
I think we're flying out Thursday morning, so we're going to meet up on my family's farm tomorrow. Southern lot, or at least. So we've got a northern lot and a southern lot, and we're going to fly separately because otherwise the drives are just awful.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna meet up tomorrow and then probably have some dinner. Got early flight and we land straight to the field, train and go from there, I guess. We don't really have a huge plan.
No, that's perfect.
Do training and figure it out.
Well, you guys have been working hard. You guys got the layout for a month leading into the tournament. So you guys have already been working your butts off getting ready for this.
Yeah, so we flew out to Marseille actually to train against the Tontons. We didn't know we had them in our bracket when we booked our flights because we were like, if we book it early, the flights are cheaper. The best training we could ask for. And then the brackets came out like, damn, maybe we don't show too much. But I think we all taught each other things on that training. Yeah. So that game is going to be even more interesting, I think, as a result of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good productive training. They're super nice. There's no... You know, in some of the local leagues, there's a bit more beef between teams, but I think once you get to the international events, everyone's very respectful of each other and the other teams and the effort they're putting in. We all kind of get on and want to beat each other on the field, but off the field, it's kind of jokes and people hang out. So, good time with them.
Yeah, it's very.
I definitely say the community in Europe's like really good. Whenever you go to the event, everyone's like so like pleasant and polite, and I think there's always a really good atmosphere whenever you go to like an NXL Europe event.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah,
you know, even you know, you've got so many people speaking different languages. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time everyone speaks English or whatever it might be, or you know,
to us,
it wasn't me.
They go and gossip about the back.
Yeah, they love us. Yeah. But yeah, everyone's just so friendly, you know, definitely. It's a nice place to go around, you know. I'm so excited because I haven't seen certain people from teams when was last September. Mm. So yeah, it's always nice when you go to the first event to see familiar faces that you haven't seen in a while.
I know. I love the European circuit. It's one of the greatest paintball experiences. If you get a chance to go play NXL Europe or any of the European events out there, it's such a good experience, just as on a human level, like we were talking about earlier, getting out of your shell, experiencing life, experiencing new people, new cultures, and playing this game that we all love. It's really cool to see that European paintball is booming right now too. It's doing really good.
Yeah, it's on the rise again, which is great. You know, since COVID, it took a really big hit. So it's really good to see it kind of, you know, climbing back up to where it used to be. I'm excited to get to this event as well, see how the first event is. I think they opened it up. So, you know, last couple seasons, it was just the pro teams that were competing. And then at the final one, you know, they would have all the divisions. I think they have semi-pro. and Division One?
No, I think you're just
pro and semi-pro. Yeah. Okay, so it'll feel a little bigger. Probably have two fields, which is
the WNXL there as well.
Oh, and the WNXL. Okay, sweet. So three divisions. So you know, yeah, making strides to get back to where it needs to be.
And I think the ICPL is doing a 10-man possibly out there. Is that this one? Or I know they're doing a 10-man at one of these NXL Europeans. I'm not sure if it's this one. But
I didn't hear about that. Yeah, I don't know.
We're zoned in, you know?
Yeah. All right, so to round out the show, I know you guys, what time is it there right now?
About
4:30, 5
o'clock.
4:30.
Right. Okay, I know that you guys are busy. You got a lot going on over there.
Yeah.
To round out the show, we got some Discord questions. But first, we're going to have a little European trivia. All right, European trivia questions. Right. I hope you guys are all ready over here.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you're playing. You're a part of the group.
Woo!
You're out there in Europe. So there is, I think we got like 6 or 7 questions. If you get half of them right, we'll consider that a W. All right.
Playing as a team, or are we?
You're playing as a team. It's team. Team Lucky 15s right now. Okay. So we've got first question. What is Europe's largest country?
France. Well, it depends on your opinion. Russia. Yeah. Europe. How are you defining Europe?
That is true.
So
continent.
Russia's half Asia.
You are correct. I'm going to give it to you. It is Russia. You're right. Yeah. If you're counting, you know, it is a European country, Russia would be the largest. So let's move on to the next one. That's one. Good job. Way to start off with a W there. Most populated capital city in Europe. And obviously we're including.
I think that's London.
I don't know. Man.
You said you don't think it is?
I think it's London.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday.
London's bigger than, I think London's bigger than Paris, and it's definitely bigger than Berlin.
Okay, you going with London?
London.
Yeah.
It's Moscow, Russia again. Boom, I went back to back with it.
Damn.
Just as all right, so 1-1.
Wait,
all
hold on, hold on, hold on.
I'm contesting this Russia and Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
so I think technically it is considered a European country, right?
I mean, realistically, if you would probably class it as Europe.
Yeah.
I get half of it is in Asia.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It depends which
Well, hey, sound off in the comments. Let us know what you think out there.
Second, we want half a point.
Yeah, half point there. All right, the longest mountain range in Europe.
The French Alps.
Yeah.
Boom, got it. Perfect. So that's a W on that one. Which European country had the world's first postage stamp?
Oh shit, I don't know.
It's going to be all this is. England?
England?
Yeah, obviously, I mean.
It is the UK. First. Yes, it's the UK. And that's, thank God you got that. I was going to roast you if you did not get that. That is you. That is you guys. All right, so that's a W on that one. I think you guys are doing good here. The next question, what is Europe's southernmost capital?
Southernmost capital. Oh, is Rome further south than Madrid?
Yeah,
but then you've got all the bloody Eastern Europe. Are you including Turkey in Europe as well? Because it's in the EU and Istanbul.
But it's also south. In Asia.
So, yeah. No, it would be, it's the southernmost capital. I'll just let you know what it says. The answer is Athens, Greece.
Okay. Oh, Greece.
Yeah, Athens. So I guess that would be that one. And then what is the name of Europe's highest mountain? Do you guys know that?
Mont Blanc.
You're wrong.
No, hold on. Kilimanjaro.
No, that's
Africa.
Yeah.
Is it a Russian one?
It's Mount Elbrus is what they're saying is the highest mountain range.
Where's that?
You know what? Overall, I think you guys did pretty good. You know, I'm
googling that one. Sorry,
I'm gonna get Mount Elbrus, E L B R U S, and then. Let's see. We'll have a bonus question.
That's Russian. It is Russian. Huh?
Yeah.
The Russians really thrown us off here.
I know. It really got you guys. It got you. Bonus question. Belfast in Northern Ireland is where which historic ship was constructed? What ship was made in Northern Ireland?
Is it the Mayflower?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there'll be a lot of historic ships in Northern Ireland.
I know. Mayflower. Yeah. For this particular question, the Titanic. The Titanic was made in Northern Ireland, which is pretty cool. I thought that was pretty awesome because that's, once again, part of the UK there. All right, enough of the trivia. Good job, everybody.
The trivia is fun. Is there more questions?
There is. There's a ton of them, but I want to get into the Discord.
We need two more trivia questions because, yeah, we can't end on an L right there with Titanic.
Okay, you want some more trivia? Do you want, what kind of trivia? Would you like some UK? You want some UK trivia?
No, I like the European trivia.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, European trivia. We're going to get at least one more rolling here. We got 45 hitters right here. All right. What is the oldest European country?
Oh, European countries are so wild. When does something become a country?
Yeah.
That is true. Because you could say Greece, but that was a collection of city states for a long time.
So it's saying the oldest European country is Bulgaria. Bulgaria. Wow. Yeah. And then I got a fact check here on old Mount Elbrus here. The highest peak in Europe is old Mount Elbrus there. Let's see. What's the most populous city in Europe? The most populated city in Europe?
Moscow, you said.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. We already did that one. The smallest European country.
Oh, Vatican City.
Yeah, Vatican City.
Smallest country in the world.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, I think that suffices. You guys crushed it on the trivia, and it's a fun little thing that I wanted to throw in there.
Yes.
Let's go. One-on-one champ. Cool. And then we do have some Discord questions. Everyone's stoked that you guys are out there competing. And thank you to everyone who taps in the Discord, supports us in PTG world. We love y'all. Let's see, we got Osborne for this. What's your favorite food to eat in Europe and what one food you've tried but hated? And if we want to start with, let's go with Mason and see what your favorite and then something that you've tried and then not liked.
Would it be something that I've gone away from paintballs? Like I've gone somewhere in Europe and I've
I think just in general, like your favorite food in Europe.
I mean, I love ice cream, mate. That's honestly my favorite food. I know it's a bit basic, but it just slaps every time, mate. So one food that I...
Wait, you said ice cream. Is that right?
Yeah, ice cream.
There we go. I love it.
Yeah. Besides that, you know, I haven't really tried anything where I've been like, I don't like it. I'm not really a massive fussy eater. So
there we go.
It's not the end of the world. It's not that bad.
Yeah, Mason eats everything.
Yeah, basically.
Mine is in Spain, you get like little beach shack restaurants, and they are the best restaurants in Spain, by the way. Don't sleep on them. They don't look like they will be, but they're like fresh fish cooked on the beach. It's good. Seafood paella from there is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You've got to order it like by the like big pan. So you need about five of you to get to it. on seafood, I really did not like lobster bisque when I got it. That stuff, it's like a tangy lobster soup, and it wasn't for me.
Yeah, the lobster bisque wasn't hitting for him.
No, not
what about you, March? What's your favorite, and then something that maybe you weren't so fond of?
Yeah, so for like the first like 10 years of coming to Europe, I would have to get a street kebab. You know, the kebabs good. I remember the first one I got was in Toulouse. And it was, you know, they usually have a little cart right outside of whatever bar you're at, you know, and like absolutely amazing. I mean, I would get them every single time I'd come. Actually, I haven't had one in a while. We got to make that
out.
It is the end of the night.
It's out, when you're walking home. Drunk.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Get myself a little kebab.
Yeah, get like with the sweet chili sauce. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm not a really fussy eater either, but the one thing that I've had that I really didn't like was seafood paella.
No culture.
Just, you know, I don't need fish in my rice. It's kind of weird. Now, I was in Spain, in Malaga,
And supposedly this is where I got Mike
from.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It
were
was,
you at the little beach front restaurant or not?
No, we were at a hotel. So
yeah.
But I just and I love fish. I love raw fish. I love cooked fish. I eat all sorts of fish. For some reason, mixed with rice, it just doesn't sit well with me. I'm just not a fan.
I think Marcelo's just picky. He ordered something not on the menu last night.
Linguine and clams. We're at an Italian restaurant. I ordered linguine and clams.
Yeah. He made him make it special. You know who I am.
Good.
All I had him do was take out the other, you know, the other stuff that they had in there. I was like, "Do you have clams? Do you have linguine? Can we do that? A little garlic butter sauce."
Bam.
I also ordered a steak.
Double dinner.
Yeah, double dinner.
Shout out to the steak. Yeah, so the big takeaway is you got to go to the shacks, right? We got to go to the food shacks is where it's at. All right, yeah,
on the beach. If you're touching sand, you're winning.
There we go. That's what we need to know right there for the people out there traveling. All right, we got Patty Rice. What division or level do you think is worth it for players to look at traveling to play in Europe as someone maybe coming from abroad? And which NXL Europe event is the best for a paintball vacation combo?
Ooh, good question. Yeah. Divisional wise, at NXL, there's currently only pro and semi-pro. So if you can make a pro squad, play pro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's loads of really good national leagues in Europe. So you've got the French League, which is good. You've got the DPO, which is good. And then the best one by far, we're not biased, is the CBPS.
But then you get stuck in England.
Yeah. But England has all this history and culture that you were experiencing yesterday. You know? you were walking around, you're still getting all your Instagram stories. You were loving it. Yeah, it's great.
Blast, man.
It does. It looks beautiful out there, man. It really does.
A great thing to do in Europe is it's really well connected. So you can get trains everywhere. Yeah. So you could come for 2-3 weeks and go to like 5 different countries.
Yeah.
So I recommend that if you're coming from America and you want to do, you know, 3 weeks in Europe, you can do, it's called interrailing. You can go all around Europe on trains and you can kind of go wherever you want. We've got, you know, really historic cities like Paris and London, Venice, Rome, all of them. And you've got lovely, lovely scenery in the countryside. So you've got, you know, mountains and in the Alps. Mm-hmm. You've got beautiful French countryside. You've got all the beaches down in Spain and Portugal. So there's a lot. You won't fit it in 3 weeks, but you can kind of pick and choose.
Yeah. And I love what you said about the circuits. There's also these local tournaments in all these different pockets that are really strong as well. So if there's an area that you want to look to going to, find out if you can maybe guest on a team, a divisional team in those local events, and then you can go to that area and play in that too. Yeah, that's amazing stuff. All right, we got, let's see. We got CM Harry. With them doing less divisional, do you feel that might be a way to get it on TV with just pro and semi-pro? That's what CM Harry is wondering.
I wouldn't necessarily say just it's going to get on TV because there's no less divisions there. You know, realistically, you need more people there anyway to achieve it. It's all about money, you know, realistically. You know, whether you're going to have outside sponsors or it's also about the amount of numbers to actually want to watch it. Mm. So everyone who's going to listen to this in America, make sure you watch some European paintball.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the big thing. We need everyone in paintball to just show a bit more initiative. You know, everyone who plays, you know, care a bit more, you know, go do, just do that extra little thing. You might not think it. Accounts as much.
Yeah, I want to add to that. You know, we've been screaming this out of the rooftops ever since ESPN, SportsCenter, Bleacher Report started sharing clips of paintball on their social media. It's fascinating. All paintball players show out, like, comment, share. And when you go to those pages, you go to ESPN's Instagram, and you see these clips that are doing better than all of the other clips around because the whole community shows out. I actually think that that's probably a big reason that we got these conversations with ESPN. Yeah. Somebody was like, whoa, there's something here. Yeah. You know, they started it. They're like, let's try posting this again. Same thing happened. And then they're like, let's post this again. Same thing happened. So it's really important for everybody listening to. And I know it's like it sounds kind of annoying and you know.
No, it's so important. It is so important
to share paintball content. like the shows, like actually click the like button, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channels. These are all numbers that these massive outside companies actually look at.
Yeah.
They look at to see, is this worth our time or not? When you go to the number one streaming platform, GoSports, and I don't know how many likes or subscribers they have, but if it's like 20,000 subscribers, that's not meaningful to these big brands. So it's so important for us to do all those little things to continue to build our own infrastructure.
For reference, I know like my brother used to race cars and he was on whatever it was, channel 19 or something, and they'd get 300,000 views just on like a really low channel, like division 4 car racing.
Yeah.
And that's what paintball's got to compete with.
Yeah.
There's a lot of eyes that you've got to bring in to make it to TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think division or not being present is, I don't think divisional is a factor in that equation.
No, it's not.
It's about the storylines that bring the eyes. And once you've got the eyes, then the networks can sell ads. And when they can sell ads, they can make money. And then that's when you keep the spot on TV.
Bingo. That's right. Yeah, and it's up to us. It's up to you out there listening and tuning in to like, comment, and share and really go above and beyond to debut this sport to the world, because we still have a big job ahead of us. We've got a long way to go, and we got to just keep giving it everything that we got and going above and beyond for each other. And we need that divisional ranks to be super strong to kind of swing around back to the question. We want to make sure that all of our divisional players are hungry and working hard and doing just what we're saying, right? Debuting this to the world in the right light, sharing every opportunity that they can. And like you were saying, we've got to tune in this weekend. Please support the NXL Europe from America. Tune in. Go to the Facebook page, like, comment, share. Let's get some numbers and some traction rolling for that circuit as well. It's all one umbrella, right? We're a paintball family. So wherever the big paintball's at, we got to support it.
And to add to that, Tyler, I think probably the most impactful thing that someone can do to grow paintball is just to bring a friend to try it.
100%.
They don't have to stay and do it forever, but the way you grow things is you get more people doing them, more people interested, more people exposed to it. If you just bring a friend to try it once, and even if only 1 in 10 times someone stays, then I think that's the biggest thing you're going to be able to do to grow it.
That's one thing I find quite interesting. I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but whenever in the UK people ask me about paintball in general, professional paintball, people are just like, I didn't even know that was
the same case? Absolutely. On a plane and... You get talking to your seat neighbor, and they're like, "You know, what are you going to so and so for?" I'm like, "Oh, paintball." You know, and they're like,
"You can do that?"
paintball." You know, it's the same for sure. But those are great opportunities to explain what we do, and often that person leaves saying, "Oh, I can't wait to bring my son." You know, I can't wait to try this. And so, just sharing what we do, telling the stories, and really, again, we talk about this, highlighting the lifestyle that we have been so fortunate to live through professional paintball is like that is the cream of the crop. You know, that is our $1 million contracts. You know, it really is. And so I really just wish we'd do a better job of highlighting, you know, these stories, the travel, the experiences, you know,
the relationships.
Like, absolutely. You know, like how cool. I'm over here in England getting roasted by these guys all week. pretty bad about myself. No. Greeny's got me down in the dungeon, so my sleeping quarters are great.
You get jokes, you get
that. That's the rule. You made a joke, Ty. You take your watch Harry Potter. You know, like in the first two movies, like where he's underneath the stairs.
Yeah.
That's my cellar.
Literally, I'm sleeping in the closet on a mattress pad.
Hey,
not even a pad.
Hey, it's a really nice closet.
It's a really nice mattress. It's the nicest closet I've ever slept in. That is a fact.
It's a walk-in home gym. You know, we're good.
You're a wizard. You're a wizard, Harry. You know.
That's another thing. I've never seen Harry Potter.
We'll make sure he comes back with a skull.
So. Yeah. Just a little guy. All right, this one is from Papa Sash out of Texas. Two questions. Have the additional snake beams had a noteworthy impact on the outcome of pro or divisional matches? Also, do you bore match or just use a 6, 8, 9 to shoot everything? So two questions there.
Bore match
on
always.
The bore match, that's an easy answer. Yeah. That's yes, we bore match.
Yeah, really of course.
The snake beams, I don't know, actually. I'd be interested to hear everyone else's opinion. It's great for me. I'm a snake guy, and there's the world's biggest snake, so I'm happy.
I don't I don't think the way they've used them yet has changed the game too much. Like, you know, originally Jason was saying he was going to, like, you know, connect, like, the back bunkers, you know, like a insert bunker on the Dorito side into the first Dorito, and then a gap, and then maybe – so that is when I think the game will change a little bit, and you can crawl back and forth from, like, those interior spots. But so far, the snakes have been on the tapes, so it's kind of – it hasn't really changed the game too much yet. It will, though. There will be some layouts where the game feels a little different.
I'm advocating a single snake theme as a back center.
Immediate.
Or laying down.
Yeah, laying down. I'll be the snake. I'll be the back center. Guy.
Oh, man. That'd be brutal.
Maybe for one headman. Yeah. Like, as a low.
Well, hey, I know you guys got a lot. You got to get some food, and you guys are working together. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I hope you guys crush it in the tournament. And thank you so much for taking the time to be here and chat about everything you guys got going on in Europe there.
Of course.
And I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. Heck yeah. March, go stun on them. Guys, go stun on them. Have some fun out there. And then I'll be tuned in, watching, supporting. And who knows? I'll probably be texting March and be like, hey, yo. You know, maybe try to give a little help where I can and help you guys out. Yeah, man, I hope you guys do really well. Be safe. What's you guys' game plan for the evening? What do you got going on?
I think we're going to go get some dinner and then maybe go to the F1 simulator and do some driving, some fake driving.
Yeah.
They don't drive anywhere around here. It's all trained. So I don't think they even know how to do the F1 simulator. You either walk or you take a train where it's like so busy you're crammed like a pack of sardines. It's crazy. Yeah, they're worried about the environment. That's why they don't lie. You said it's because you can't find parking. If there was parking, he would be driving. Save the environment now. He's so
I saw them giving you lessons on the tubes there, huh? They're teaching you about how to get around.
That was him.
Yeah,
doesn't know how a train works. Yeah, you know,
pretty easy. You avoid them. You know, you get in your car and you drive to where you want to go, and there's no fuss.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Well, hey, you guys keep up the horseplay, keep up the good times, and have fun out there. All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Ty. Hey, and the trains are actually pretty damn awesome, especially in Europe. You really can get everywhere, which is cool. But don't tell these guys that.
No, when you're in Europe, the train is the way to go. You got the sights. Yeah. You got a little bevies. You got some food.
Yeah.
Hey, much love, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. Good luck. Peace.
Thanks, Steve. Peace.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to ptgpaintball.com, click the orange Patreon link in the corner, and support the show. We greatly appreciate it. We have tiers as low as $1.99 a month. That is nothing, guys, and it'll give you access to the Discord, where you get access to the players chat and get to mingle with the entire PTG community. We have tons of different pros in there. Tyler and myself are very active, and it's an amazing way to support the show. We also have amazing other tiers. If you want to be one of the best, want to be a GOAT, sign up for the GOAT tier. It's the greatest way to support us. And each month we do a private live stream show, one-on-one kind of thing, to where it's just the GOATs and Tyler, myself, will bring in some special guests every now and then, but you get to ask us questions in real time, live on the air, and you get lots of inside juicy news that we don't share on the show. So as always, we will see you guys very soon.